from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Far be it from me to correct our queen, but there are some on the text line who want you to issue an immediate correction.
And an apology.
And an apology from trending with regard to the Red Sox game this afternoon, not this evening, correct?
Yes. Okay. 2:10 p.m. this afternoon. If I'm being honest with everybody, I was late this morning.
Yes, you were.
And that's on me that I did not change it in my document.
What happened?
You know, it was just one of those mornings that time got away from me. And that's on me.
Yeah.
That's on me.
Do you know that science has, this is new news today, science has determined the exact time at which you know whether it is going to be a bad day or not.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Please tell me we've already passed it.
This is not my lead. We have not. Would you like to take it?
9 a.m.
Wiggy would say 4:21.
No, I would say 8:15.
8:36.
Wow.
By 8:36 every morning, you know whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day.
Okay.
That's shocking because I've already determined it's going to be a good day.
All right. Well,
we need a gong at 8:37.
Let me get to my lead. Starbucks has a new CEO. His name is Brian Nickel. And it has been announced that he will work from home remotely every day.
All right.
The CEO, the chief executive officer, will never step foot into the headquarters in Seattle. Will never, I'm guessing, interact with at any of the stores or with any of the employees or with anybody who might be a customer of Starbucks. Should there be some important question like perhaps, hey, we have this venture capital funding sitting out here. We need a decision on it.
Mm-hmm.
Brian will probably say, yes, I will get to that as soon as I get the laundry done.
All right.
At home. As soon as I get the bed made, I will get to it. Is there anything that is more perplexing than the CEO of a company which is based on human interaction? That's how they make their money, is people going into their store, interacting with a barista and saying hello, who is never going to interact with any of his employees. It is, I'm sorry, go ahead, call me and Curtis old men screaming at clouds. This is an absolute disaster. Go ahead.
I'm not going to yell at you.
You're not?
I have a question. Is he requiring his employees to go into said office?
Yes. There have been employees that have been told they have to come back to work.
Is bad leadership. And that is not okay. If you are the CEO of a company and you are a leader, your ass should be in your office, and you should be available for anybody that needs to come talk to you throughout the day.
You are available. Send me an email.
How do you expect that people are going to do any kind of work and be any kind of productive if you're not there leading by example.
And
just because you have people underneath you who do that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's
the but man, I want to work
the
for
the man
somebody,
with the gold makes the rules.
I want to work for somebody that I have access to. Uh-huh. Like, I want somebody that is there and seems excited about whatever company I'm working for. And if they're sitting at home every day, I think it's only going to lead to resentment from the people working for.
How many companies do you really get that you work for that you really can go, all right, I'm going to go up to the CEO's office and, you know, break bread with them?
Well, FedEx, the CEO of FedEx, I think it's Smith is his last name. He's there in Tennessee. He's been there. He's set up the whole business. He's hands-on. Mm-hmm. But, Wiggy, the argument against this is Jerry Jones. So he's the CEO. He owns it. He's there every day, and he makes it worse.
Right.
So there is the potential. But this, when you have a shop that is predicated upon customer service and you never actually visit the shop, you are derelict in your duty as someone who's operating and running the business.
It's ridiculous.
And did you see the money he got?
Yes, it's like $300 million when you include the stock and everything else. He got a $10 million signing bonus.
$80 million one-time equity grant.
Well, now he has a nice home office.
Now you know why he gets to chill at home.
He has good Wi-Fi.
You know what? Hey, strive to be the CEO and not a barista, and guess what? You can.
It is nuts, though.
I got no issues with it.
Nobody is going to work. Like, if your big boss, the figurehead, the CEO, the guy who's in charge, is working from home, then why are you going to bother to go in and do any work?
Because you have a boss at the job. There's
It's his job to lead by example. I'm sorry.
Middle management.
Yeah, that's
but
what,
middle management is going to start resenting their boss, who's going to start resenting their boss. It's a trickle-down effect. But if everyone's working from home, I'm all for it.
Remember, there's cattle, there's farmers. That's how it works. And you know what? If you're the cattle, guess what? You don't have maybe the same type of luxury that the farmer has. It's just the nature of the beast.
Okay.
So I got no issues with it.
Well, anyway, those are this morning's leads.
Damn, how do I become CEO of Starbucks? $300 million?
Tommy Bag Donuts.
Yeah.
You can't say anything. You don't get to work on time. I was here on time. I was just late.
You were a little bit late.
I was late for our...
You were late for our meeting.
I was here before you, so I was...
By 1 minute. I mean, I saw you walking, running in. Yeah, you were running.
I was running.
Full anxiety panic when you were running in this morning. All right, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And where would you like to begin, Jackson?
Let's begin with the Matthew Judon situation. It's almost over, but Pat McAfee kind of had a little stamp on it, and he does not think Atlanta came out good in this situation.
This Judon story, as a New England Patriot fan, red sleeves obviously no longer roaming the field for the Patriots. He was up there in the new era of Colts, still Belichick era, of Patriots. He has the situation with Coach Mayo, you know, on the field whenever he was holding out or sitting out of padded practices. He and Coach Mayo talk. Mayo sends him off the field. He's back the next day. Then, boom, he's traded to the Atlanta Falcons. Mm. Holy hell, the Atlanta Falcons are trading for Judon. Do they have a deal done? They do not have a deal done. Wow. Falcons are idiots again. They pay a quarterback $180 million. Then they draft Michael Penix Jr. in the top 10. Who's your quarterback? You don't have one. What's your plan? You don't have one. Then they trade for Judon without a deal getting done. Are you guys Hassan Reddick again?
Could be.
What a bunch of doofuses. How many amateurs we got running NFL teams these days?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Do you agree, Wiggy? It was dumb to trade for him or give up that capital based on not having a new deal done for him. So you're basically renting him this year. I mean, you're only renting him for $6.5 million.
That sounds like McAfee's doing the bidding of his new buddy Bill. That the organization that spurred him is making bad decisions.
Okay.
Yeah. I think in the sense of it makes your team better, right? And your team is about. The Atlanta Falcons are in kind of win now mode. So it makes your team better. Like you said, it's only going to cost them $6.5 million. And, There are a lot of people who don't necessarily, like, here in New England, like, he's hurt, he's this, is he still the same guy? So it's probably smart for them to maybe not give him a new deal. He brings up the Hassan Riddick thing, like, Judon's going to get there and then be like, oh, I want to be traded from here, too.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think he's going to figure out, like, all right, I'll come down here, I'll play, and then hopefully I'll get my new contract after the first couple of weeks of the season.
Okay, what's next, Jackson?
All right, moving to the AFC East. Curtis's favorite guy, Aaron Rodgers, had something to say about how tough this training camp is so far.
I would say the camp is much harder this year and maybe the hardest in the last 7 or 8 of my career. I knew that. I had a little insight coming into camp that that's what Robert wanted to do. So I think it's been good for us. You know, there's a lot of different schools of thought, and there's always, you know, people you can scapegoat as far as injuries and different things, but I think some of the older guys enjoyed, to steal a coaching word, the callous part of training camp where you're kind of grinding. And some people believe that although it puts more, you know, strain on you in training camp, that actually gets you more ready to play when the season starts. And then some people believe the opposite.
I honestly, I'm not rooting for much this year. I hope he falls so flat on his face. What an arrogant a-hole. I and Robert and I knew. The rest of the squad baited.
I have been told by Robert Saleh that this was going to be a difficult training
the
camp.
The rest of the squad was completely unaware.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he's healthy, I hate to say it,
they're
but
good.
They are a good football team.
When Rodgers is healthy, there's nothing you could say about him as a player and a quarterback on the field. When he's healthy, he's a top 5 quarterback. Now, getting, you know, what he does in the postseason different, but he's healthy. That defense is good. They got talent. They got Wilson at wide receiver. They got the with the running back, Breece Hall. So they got some talent over there, you know. And
even if I tear my ACL, I won't miss any action.
Are you, when it comes to training camp and the way it used to be when you played,
and the
way it is now,
yeah,
do you sort of agree with Aaron Rodgers?
No, because even when I played, even, you know, like, how much harder could it be for him now? And then I'll get, like, old man Tom Brady. When I played, it was a different time. You know, training camp was a lot longer. Some teams had 5 preseason games. There was real two-a-days. It was a different time, you know? Yeah. So, I I'm not going to knock the younger guys because of the way they got it. They were fortunate to be born when they were born and play in the era they're playing in.
All right, what's next, Jackson?
Next, Courtney talked about it in her lead yesterday. Tua Tagovailoa had some things to say about Brian Flores, called him a horrible person, and here's how Flores responded.
The words he used were a terrible person. I'm just curious how that hit you.
Look, I'm human, so that hit me in a way that, you know, wasn't positive for me. But at the same time, you know, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that? You know, how can I be better? That's really where I'm at from that standpoint. Do I feel like, you know, that's me? No. But how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not, you know, the case that anyone says that about Brian Flores?
Well, back to you, Wiggy, because you actually played the game. You've had coaches, I'm sure, say unrepeatable things to you.
Yeah.
Mean things to you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think what Brian Flores was saying to Tua, was that out of bounds?
You know,
you're not the guy I wanted.
Right.
You know, you stink.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not one bit at all. But in the world we live in today, you can't coach like that. I remember Bill Parcells having me stand up in front of the whole team and minicamp, and basically was like, yeah, there's no way you're going to make this team. The only reason why you're here is because I know your coach and I did him a favor.
Are you serious?
And the fact that you're from...
He had you stand up.
Stand up.
And then he said, there's no way you're making this team.
Nope. And
did he let you sit down after he said that, or did you stand up the whole entire...
After that, I was like, I don't know which direction to go. And he was like, and the fact that you're from Boston and I hate the Red Sox and, you know, just Boston in general, because he was like a Jersey guy. Yeah, you're not making this team. But
did that help you?
Because the way Parcells operated was, if he could break you mentally, you couldn't play for him. He used to criticize Jumbo Elliott like it was, you know, and Jumbo help him win a couple Super Bowls and just being in practice. And he used to be like, yeah, Jumbo, I was reading the paper and Strahan said he's going to have a couple sacks against you. After watching you practice, I think it's forget about a couple. I don't even know if you're going to make it through the game.
But again, Tua ended that season with Brian Flores right. on a high note. So, like, it was the Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson aspect that was, like, the monkey on his back that he couldn't shake. It wasn't Brian Flores. Like, yeah, maybe your feelings got hurt, but you ended up performing pretty well at the end with the same head coach.
I will say this, and this is the old man. Not old man, but just, like, we were built differently as football players. There's still some guys out there that are built like we were, but there are a lot of guys that couldn't play in the era that I played or even before the era I played in because mentally they were brought up different. The world is different for them. It's just they couldn't do it. Like Belichick, early Belichick, these guys could not play for early Belichick.
And I would just say, and I've heard countless people talk about this since Tua went on Dan Le Batard, and I would say 80-90% active and former players side with Flores and in the way it's being done. And Tua is a guy that has dealt with bad leadership. He's been put in harm's way because of a lack of understanding about the concussive nature of his injuries. But in general, he's been okay on a very talented team, and he's been receiving very little national scrutiny.
Are we to believe that his head coach in college didn't yell at him?
Of course, Saban did.
Nick Saban. I mean, like,
but I think the view of in college versus the pros, like he was the man in college. So Nick Saban, I believe, yelled at him. But it was like probably a different way because he was the man. In the pros, he was trying to find his way. And a lot of these guys, they feel like, well, wait a second. You can't criticize me. I'm a top five pick.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do it. And that's the wet world we live in. Like, a boss can't yell at a person no more because they feel like, oh, wait a second. You can't do that to me. Who are you?
Yeah. All right. Well, that is, they said it, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Apparently, word is that if you work at Starbucks headquarters and you are late for work, you will be virtually disciplined. You'll be yelled at over Zoom. All right. We have got to get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Sox take one against the Astros behind Jaren Duran's game-winning homer. 6-5 was your final. They've got another one in Houston tonight. First pitch at 2:10 with Cooper Criswell getting the start opposing Justin Verlander. You can hang out with Arcan at 1:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Tyler Murray have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. Patriots back at practice today, 1 p.m. start with Gerard Mayo speaking with media beforehand at 12:30 ahead of Sunday's preseason finale against the Commanders. And history was made last night. The first WNBA team ever to play at the TD Garden was the Connecticut Sun, defeating the LA Sparks in front of a sold-out crowd. In Timeout Market Boston, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarketboston.com. That is what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Excellent trending, Courtney.
Hey, thank you.
Currently, you can do that from home, anywhere you want.
Does it make you want to dance, Weather Smoke?
Oh, I need to see this guy.
Okay.
Can we please?
All right.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were recording me. I would have actually changed up a little bit, but I do think we got in all my favorite moves. I like when I do the 180, the 360, and then I'm, you know, mashing potatoes. Oh, what a great sight. I love your pool, by the way. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Dancing Weather Smoke is celebrating because it's going to be a beautiful weekend in the 80s. That's why he's dancing on Twitch.
And Dancing Curtis is hoping for an invite to Ripe. I don't know if I play my cards right. 57 and sunny afternoon high.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For 73.
Darren, I would imagine, you know, not all these games are created equal. You had to sense as a group that this was a big-time game, and you really set the tone early.
Yeah, I mean, coming down the stretch like this, all these games are a matter. So, I mean, just setting the tone early, man. We've been grinding, and we've been able to get off to a hot start, you know, and just keeping the pressure on, especially a good team like that. You know, you can't let up on them.
Well, that was Jaren Duran last night, and he is suggesting that these guys, this Red Sox team, knows that it is important that they win right now, mm-hmm. Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
Not next week,
right.
And not in early September, which is right around the corner, but right now in this series, and they got it done thanks in a large part to Jaren Duran last night. So you're optimistic. I can't remember. I know you got a bag of merch, so from time to time, you're very optimistic about the Red Sox.
They're a good baseball team. Like he said, that's scrappy, and they compete. And you look at them, they struggled so much after the All-Star break. Now it's just in a position where when you watch them, it's going to be they're gonna be teasing us all the way until the end of the season. The question is, the one that we're going to ask is, do they leave us hanging, or do they do just enough to make sure they get in and give us some juice to say, all right, it's the postseason, let's see what you can do.
Are you saying the Red Sox final push is like Shime's foot photo on the beach, just teasing us?
No, that would be, yeah, Shime's feet ain't teasing nobody. We're ready to move on from that. They're like that girl, it's like, oh, maybe I get lucky after the dance. She was showing me some love on the dance floor. And then you get back and she's like, yeah, no, I gotta go.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm tired. My parents are home.
I don't know. What they did at the deadline in retrospect is
insufficient.
It's kind of, it's like trickery. It's like, You knew that you needed to address pitching. You knew, you know, you would have loved to see them truly address the starter role, and they didn't really. You got a guy that was DFA'd by somebody else, and then you were gonna, you know, you're hoping that you're doing something bullpen wise that is gonna allow you, at least when your offense gets you a lead, mm-hmm. to hold on and win the baseball games. And so,
but everybody liked the Garcia move. Everybody was like, oh, he's a good setup guy. Everybody was on. I think you asked the question when it was for Paxton. Would you like to see him return? Right, and everybody liked that. I think we're just like,
Wiggy, we can like things in a moment. We can say in hindsight they didn't do enough. It both can be true. We could have been wrong in the moment thinking they did enough, but in hindsight they didn't do enough.
In hindsight, I think now you're straddling the fence because you either got to say they didn't do enough, or they did what they were supposed to do, what you asked for, and they did it. Now they're just not performing up to the level that you was expecting after they made these acquisitions. You can't go on both sides of the fence and go like,
of course you can. We don't run the baseball operation. We can say, I'm happy they did something. I'm happy they extended Cora.
So what would you give my man Craig as far as a grade for the trade deadline?
C.
Maybe a B minus. I will wait. I will anxiously await to see how it plays out. Mm-hmm. I just think that they went to the dollar store. Now, I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
that not only us, but Red Sox fans were saying, please just do something. Mm-hmm. You go back to that period of time.
Yep.
They were winning more than they were losing. Mm-hmm. And so Red Sox fans said, please add. And they did add.
And they added.
But they went to the dollar store.
Oh.
And they also, at the same time, virtually the same time, announced that they had re-signed Alex Cora,
mm-hmm.
as a way to get you to look at that and to look at the shiny new object, which is a three-year deal for Alex Cora. And so
that's what you wanted, though.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's like,
but
there was no flash. There was no flash, which I think Red Sox fans are yearning for. They wanted acquisitions, but they wanted it to be somebody that is
like who. Right, and that's what I mean. We need baseball Brett for that. Like, who was the flash that you would have been like, all right, great job?
I don't know. You brought up a few big names over again.
Yeah, big name bats. But
yeah.
we're talking about the,
I think, but I think if
the
they
hitting's
had
not the issue.
I think if they had added a big name bat, people would be less concerned or upset about the, you know, lackluster of the pitching staff that they added.
Right, but if the reason you're losing games is because of your bullpen. And, you know,
well, how do you protect yourself against a bad bullpen?
You got Cassis back.
You get better starting pitching, so you don't need as much of your bullpen to pitch
right.
in those games. They've had the worst ERA in baseball since the trade deadline.
Right.
So maybe you trade for Jack Flaherty, who went to the Dodgers.
Right, but if you're
who in three starts is in 16 innings, giving up, you know, six earned runs, nothing, or 18 innings, nothing great,
mm-hmm.
but better than what you've been having.
Right, but if your issue is like your bullpen and your starting pitching has been good enough where you've had leads and you say, well, how many games have they lost where they were leading by a run or two after the fifth or sixth inning, it's can't really blame that on the starters. Right?
No, I know. You blame it on the players.
Yeah, I think.
Which is, you have guys on this team, young guys on this team, who have definitely
mm-hmm.
overperformed expectation-wise this
right.
season. So I find it hard to blame the players. Like, you had an entire offseason
mm-hmm.
where you could have gone and spent big and, you know, you really didn't. So,
but the players have shown us that they can play. Like
players in general have played above what you thought they were going to play. The young guys, at least.
So then the expectation is higher for them moving forward. So I just think that them losing steam at the end of the season, you're an MLB player. You know how long the season is. You know how many games there are. It can't happen 3 years in a row and it just be a coincidence.
Yeah, right. I think the players that you added were solid players. It was what you were looking to add. They just haven't performed well here, right? And so It's not on the front office. You went out and got guys that you would think, okay, they could help your team, but they're just not performing well. So I think that's the thing. I don't criticize the front office for that. I criticize the players and to some part the managers and the coaches for maybe not being able to get the best out of those players for whatever reasons those might be.
So you're saying when you look at...
What grade do you give them at the deadline, Wiggy?
I gave them a B.
Easy grader.
Yeah, I gave them a B. I thought they added multiple pitches.
Who have stunk.
They've not played well here. But
that's on the players, you're saying. So you look at Garcia or you look at Sims or whatever.
What a way to do this. If the players play well, it goes to Breslow. If they play bad, it's the player.
No. I wouldn't.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to with him.
No,
because
I would give Breslow the credit for getting guys.
But if they don't perform, it's on the player.
Yeah, but if they perform well, I'd still give the player credit.
But, okay.
If they didn't do anything, Curtis, you would have complained.
They didn't really do anything. They didn't trade a top prospect for anybody.
Okay, what's your complaint? They didn't trade a top...
Jack Flaherty. I would have traded
you brought
a top
up
five.
Jack Flaherty.
I would have traded for Nathan Eovaldi. Boom, boom.
All right.
And then you get better starting pitchers. So I think Tanner Houck is about to hit a limit of some kind. Ken and I were talking about this. He follows this more closely than I do. But maybe you're able to not rely on Tanner Houck to start if he's closing in on an innings limit, and then he becomes your 7-8 guy out of the pen a la Daniel Bard in 07-08 with the Sox, so you're able to...
Who's that, Tanner Houck?
Yeah.
But he don't want to be a bullpen guy.
He has to protect his arm. It's for his own interest that they're going to have an innings limit so his shoulder does not damage
early in
his career.
That's why he only goes, five innings?
Yeah, he only had 90 pitches in his last start, so instead of having him start going 90 pitches, you have him out of the pen like they did last year.
This is Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Quick thought along the Red Sox here, which I think we need to all pay attention to. Everybody got real excited right before the All-Star break, trading deadline, playing great. We got to remember, if you look at the schedule at that point in time, they were really taking advantage of a weak schedule. They weren't playing high-quality teams. The schedule flips to post-All-Star break, and look who they came out of having to play out of that All-Star break. Statistically, the Red Sox have the hardest schedule in Major League Baseball post-All-Star break. I know they didn't do enough, but the level of competition they faced has gone up dramatically. And that's what's really causing the issues, is that they're a good team, not a great team, but the teams they're playing right now are great teams.
Yeah.
So I think we got to remember that.
They are playing good baseball teams right now, and their schedule is very difficult. But I don't – see, we're having the discussion on do we feel like – because the question was before the trade deadline, what we saw the past few years were they were basically inactive, not doing anything.
Well, okay, but this happens. This thing, which we are witnessing unfortunately right now, has happened in August with this baseball team for the last 4 years minus one.
Right.
So the question becomes why, and you can blame it on the players if you want, but you can also look at it and go, you are not roster-wise giving them enough talent to get over the hump when it comes to this post-All-Star break August period.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that the past 2 years or last year and the year before. But this year I felt like they gave you enough players. You just continue to struggle, and part of that could be your schedule is very difficult.
Yeah, here's Steve in the truck. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
I don't understand people who are calling a radio station and putting them on hold.
I don't get it. This guy calls every show every day.
Does he?
Yes. Steve in the truck. He used to work at Wonder Bread. His son-in-law worked in the Secret Service. That's about his extent.
How do I get a ringtone like that?
I don't know how that works.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you have to, like, hit buttons?
You must.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. At least it's better than nothing, so at least it keeps you in the
table. Can we get that with Dancing Curtis?
I think Dancing Curtis might be a little bit too upbeat for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
If the Sox got Dancing Curtis, I would have said it was a great deadline.
All right, well, First pitch today, 2:10, Courtney?
Yes.
All right. Here
there
on WEEI and on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network all over New England. And, of course, on the Odyssey app. You can listen to every single Red Sox game on the Odyssey app, wherever you are, whenever you want. Coming up, we will get to Courtney in today's news, and that includes Florida not like the rest of us and how the authorities were finally able to crack the very difficult case of the fraudulent pizza deliveries. Mm. Actually, give this individual a lot of credit for what he or she was able to do.
Creative.
Very creative, in this, especially in this economy.
Correct.
Yes. And then at 9 today, there were some who took umbrage with Courtney and I meeting with Karen Reed.
Correct.
Ooh.
Yep, there were a few.
Oof.
They have asked to be able to respond.
All right.
So we will have a guest at 9, John Jackson, who represents the O'Keefe family and that and that group. And we will talk a little. I'm very interested in this. So that because we talked, not only do we have dinner, but we talked a little bit about it on the show. So we will hear another point of view coming up at 9 on today's show.
Make a habit of it.
The Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
It's time for...
No longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house.
The news.
It's on your laptop, then therefore... up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Do a fingerprint or something instead of you having to see my boobs.
Yeah. Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
What do you think they would say?
Okay, quick reminder, as she mentioned earlier, if you enjoy the news, then there you will see a QR code on Courtney's chest and you can go and donate to her N-I-L-Y-S. Is that correct?
Yeah,
is
that'd
that
be really nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's N-I-P.
I bet you make a lot of money.
Oh, that was, let's dump that. I didn't even know what I was saying there. Jesus. I was thinking of boobs.
Well, you better make sure.
Well, I already have a vacation next week.
Scheduled vacation next week for Curtis. Here comes another one. All right.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
With that.
We need dancing weather smoke immediately to distract everybody. Curtis.
Yeah. I was like, he's not about to say what I think he is.
Oh, well, thank you for jumping in and allowing me to do it.
A cell phone is being blamed for smoke filling that JetBlue cabin yesterday morning on the final descent into Logan.
I didn't see this.
Yeah. But... so the flight took off from LA. Everything seemed fine on the final descent. The smoke, like there was smoke all through the cabin. There's no cell phone footage from inside. There's video of the plane landing. Everything was fine. No damage to the actual plane. Nobody was injured.
I understand the risk if they say if you're charging your cell phone and you leave it on your bed or something, it can start a fire. But how does it happen where they randomly burst into flames?
Well, that does happen sometimes with certain types of phones. But there's also the option where this person was charging their phone on a, like a lot of planes have the ability to charge your phone now.
Yeah.
If you have it in the backseat pocket or on your lap. So we can hear from one passenger, Laura Benson on BZ.
They said, you know, there has been a fire. A phone caught on fire, and that they're doing everything that they can. You smelt the plastic first, like a really harsh smell, and then the cabin just filled up with smoke, and you saw the crew go right into action.
That's terrifying.
It's called spontaneous combustion.
Yes. I understand what... I don't think that's what that is. Like, there have been cases of... I don't want to cause any anxiety for Courtney, but spontaneous human... combustion, where a person just all of a sudden ignites.
It just happened with me.
Yeah.
It just happened with Curtis's career right in front of you. No, it happened. It has happened.
From like acid in your stomach?
I don't know what the cause of it is.
Yeah, it's the buildup.
My biggest fear is like a brain aneurysm. Like that to me, because it comes out of nowhere.
Oh, because you don't know.
And I remember when I was in college, there was a girl who was around my age who went to High Point University, and she had a perfectly normal day. My friend went to college with her, and at night, just had a brain aneurysm.
Yeah. Oof. That's it.
Yeah, can't think of that.
How long do you think Santa would wait?
I would hope at least a year.
Okay.
You would hope a year?
I would hope, yeah.
Jesus.
Men can't be alone.
Could he date? Like
for a year.
Not for a year.
It's
got to be at least 2.5 years.
Do you think he would go look-alike or in a completely different direction?
That's a good question.
Like a bubbly blonde or something.
That's easy to figure out.
I don't mean you're not bubbly, but you're not blonde.
No, I'm not blonde.
But that's easy to.
You sound blonde sometimes.
I do.
No offense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean,
I would hope.
What do his
exes
look like?
Huh?
It's easy to figure out. What
by the exes?
Yeah, are they still on the Instagram page?
Yeah, he's got some blonde exes.
Oh,
but
does.
I mean, they're like a lot like similar to how you look.
No, he's really all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't discriminate.
All right.
That was morbid. There is a guy missing on Hilton Head Island from Massachusetts. Hilton Head, my happy place. 6-year-old Stanley Katowski is from Methuen. He was on a family vacation in Hilton Head. He was last seen at Sea Pines Resort on Friday morning without his phone and not wearing shoes. Officials say he has a thick Boston accent. They're hoping that can help somebody realize who he is.
He just went missing?
Just went missing. If you're watching on Twitch... I don't know why our big screen just...
I think something happened with Twitch. I don't know if
Mitch said something happened. They just restarted it.
Oh, okay.
It's on its way.
Mitch will get that up for you. It seems like it looks like he's walking to go to the beach or something, you know, with a carriage behind him with some beach chairs. Mm. What worries me is he's not familiar with the island, and his family says that he has been dealing with extreme anxiety recently.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. If you don't know the island, there are a lot of gators. There's a lot of water all over the place. We can hear from Stanley's wife, Jackie Katowski, on WCVB.
Friday morning, 9:45, he just walked out the door. He had, like, really bad insomnia for about a month. This is, like, a brand new thing. He doesn't have... dementia. His anxiety just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and he started to get a little paranoid.
That's crazy.
Okay, well, hopefully they find him.
Yeah, so... And then we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but a terrible situation at your building yesterday, Greg. An individual seemed to have jumped from the fifth floor of Greg's building at Echelon. Luckily, it seems like he is alive. The reports are 2 broken legs. This is a weird story because... I saw it on Twitter. Obviously, you live there, so you heard about it. I know that there was an email sent out to residents at Echelon. But news story-wise, it's nowhere.
Mm. Well, it's probably good to, you know, the person survived, thank God.
Yeah.
And so it's good to keep it private.
Not saying, like, you need to say who the individual was, but there are a lot of people that live in Seaport and were probably wondering why there was so much commotion in the... What did we say the shopping center is called?
I don't remember.
The plaza.
Courtyard is called something.
Oh,
I don't remember.
White Cove, I believe.
I think it was Mignonette.
It's not called White Cove.
Oh, okay, my bad.
It's not.
But, like, my friend Sarah lives next door in the building next door to Greg, and she was up in her apartment and ended up going downstairs because she heard sirens for over 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I just, it's interesting how that is, but
don't have enough time to put in a story that they feel like isn't going to really move the needle, the news channels.
Yeah. I just hope everybody is okay. And staying in your neighborhood, Greg, the body that was pulled from behind the barking crab has been identified as 24-year-old Weed Ferguson Deser of Boston. The autopsy results are still pending, but this is a sad story because he has been reported missing by family members last week, and he had last been seen on August 11th at 2 a.m. at the barking crab. If you're not familiar with the barking crab, it is surrounded by water on two sides.
Mm-hmm. Too early to suggest smiley face killer?
I mean, that's where my mind went immediately. But 2 a.m., leaving a bar on the water.
How many times does this have to happen where you have a young man who's out and ends up days later being found in a body of water before you launch some kind of massive investigation on the smiley face killer?
Yeah.
So is the smiley face killer like the kind of minus the cannibalism? Is it like a Jeffrey Dahmer type thing? Is he like...
We don't know.
Is he like
That's
going after young men?
It's young men.
It's young men.
And is he like spiking their drinks?
Probably. That's how... I don't know. But we need an answer.
All right.
No relation to Ghostface Killer, by the way, Wiggy.
Who you know I that, saw right? at City Hall.
Yes, no relation.
No relation at all.
He seems to be okay. You can trust him if you're out having a beverage with him.
Yeah, if you're having a beverage with Ghostface,
it's okay.
That's a fun night.
With Ghostface.
Can I just say something random? There was a body that was found in South Boston in May of 2021 on East Broadway in like a stairwell. That's another story that just disappeared.
Curtis, I think about it all the time when I'm walking up and down Broadway because it was... I mean, the poor person that found
the
body
haunting.
Walking, I believe, their dog.
Yes.
And it's a very steep, like, it was one of those split levels where the stairs go down and up.
Right.
And then we never heard about it again.
Literally. Was it did the person fall?
We don't know.
You guys, I told you, that was in Southie?
Yeah.
I told you guys live in the hood, man.
Okay. Yeah.
Hood life.
All right, we got to take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of the news next, including Florida, not like the rest of us, and how the authorities, speaking of horrendous crimes, how the authorities in Florida were finally able to crack the fraudulent pizza delivery case. That is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.